Hi, I'm Lauren Edmonds. I'm the founder and owner of a school that supports children with learning delays. I'm hoping the space gives you something to think about.
I want to talk about dinner around the table. So if you already do dinner around the table, maybe I give you a couple of extra ideas. Maybe you're already doing all of them and they're working for you, and then that is fantastic. Maybe you don't see the point, you can't quite get your family together, or you have no clue what to do when you're all sitting around the table. So let me give you some of my thoughts and my experience. I think that if there's nothing else you do for your kids, do that. Maybe it can't be dinner because not everyone's at home at the same time. Maybe it needs to be breakfast. But I like the dinner idea because it ends your day. It starts their bedtime routine and gets them off to sleep. So in my opinion, they should be involved in ideas around what to have for dinner. You should be doing the choosing, but they can be involved. The other thing you can do is go shop with them, which of course develops planning skills, organization skills, financial skills. But you get home and now you want to cook. So cooking with your kids actually is occupational therapy in your kitchen, because it is visual discrimination. Please fetch the fork. No, not the spoon, the fork. It's vague vocabulary and noun development, naming development. It's vocabulary building. I need the whisk, please. And then you talk about now I'm whisking. So it's noun versus verb. And you don't even have to teach this. You're just using the language. Then, of course, the OT is it's bilateral work. I'm holding the pan and I'm mixing with my right hand. The left hand is holding, the right hand is mixing. This is bilateral work. This is each side of the body doing something different. It could be crossing the midline, because now I might be having a big bowl that I'm stirring. Now I'm going across my midline. I could be reaching across to go and get the salt. It's following instructions. When they're younger, one instruction at a time. When they're older, can you please get the salt and a spoon? See what they come back with. Then it's measurement and weight and science, because things melt, and heat, and all of these things they're learning practically. Then once the dinner is ready, or before that, you can ask them to set the table. How many people? What do we need? It's being careful. It's visual planning. It's visual discrimination. It's also midline work, potentially. It's bilateral work. It's keeping them involved and connected to you as a family. You sit down and you have your meal. No screens whatsoever. You have this conversation. You role modeling eating good food. You role modeling eating relatively slowly, so you're chewing properly. And the conversation can be about their day. Now, I particularly like the high-low approach. It came from a movie. I think it was called This Is Us, with Michelle Pfeiffer and Bruce Willis years ago. They do this around the table and everybody answers it. And it's very lighthearted. Or it could be heavy. I remember my kids, that their low could be their sandwich was too hot because they can't think of another low. Or the low would be my friend was mean to me, or I failed a test. And what happens at the dinner table, if you're modeling that it's safe to give the highs and the lows, your children start to tell you things that they wouldn't normally tell you, because either they're distracted or they don't remember or they're too scared. So this is the safe space. And then you get to reflect as well. Now, you're not going to share adult things. You're not going to say the low was I lost my job if that happened. But you might say, sure, my low today was my coffee was cold. Or my low was I had a fight with one of my colleagues and it was really hard for me to deal with. And then that opens that's a conversation starter. It opens a relationship building opportunity. And then you can also reflect on highs. Then your kids get to know what highs and lows are, and that our day is filled with highs and lows, and they can share more than one if they want to. And you share as well, and you share with grace, and you listen with grace and empathy, and you give them a response that reinforces and builds them up and doesn't break them down. This is not the time for reprimanding. It's not the time for shouting or giving lessons. It's just listening and being present and making sure they feel heard. And when dinner is finished, everybody clears the table, and it's not left for one person to do. Is everybody plays their role. Now it's teamwork, and I understand I have a part in this community, and I am part of this. I don't get to go watch the TV while somebody else has to do all the work. You don't want to raise somebody like that. You don't want them to be that kind of adult with their partner. You want them to be responsible. And besides that, all of those chores are the things that are making your child strong, incidentally. That's how the children that were raised in the 70s, 80s, and 90s were strong. They played outside and they did chores. They carried in the washing or the groceries. They helped dad with mowing the lawn. They helped mom with the dishes. They made their own beds. All of that developed their physical abilities. And none more so than around the dinner table, because it generates connection And it shows children that they are loved and that their parents value time with them. And food is nourishing. And we are grateful for the food that we have. And gratitude really changes the molecules in your body. And your gut system will be better for it because you're eating slow and you're eating with love and you're grateful for the food. So if there's nothing else you get right in your family, try as hard as you can to get that dinner time. Get that in. Get that relationship building. Put your screens away. Put the TV away. Dim the lights a little. Make it calming. It's going to be a blessing for you.